Sometimes.
Hey, Ben, how about? Issues.
Hey, Paul.
How about now? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Mary.
I thought it was.
What's that?
I thought it was maybe my earbud microphone or something.
I don't know. Who knows? Hey, Merry Christmas. Do you know what day this is? Well, not today as we're recording this, but the day this is scheduled to go online is going to be Christmas Day, Monday, December
25th. Oh, they did it all in... Ben edited it all in one night. The podcast as big as me, sir? Yes. So, exactly. Well, hey, I hope you're having a good holiday. When this is happening, I was reminded of a thing I used to do, Ben. You may have been the recipient of this. I don't know. Maybe I instituted it after we met. Whenever people would tell me their phone number,
yeah,
I would call their number, let it ring, let their machine pick up, and then say hello to yourself in the future. And hand the person the phone, and then the person would be like, so with you, it would be like, hi, Ben.
Yeah.
How's it going?
I don't.
You know, and.
Yeah.
And it always, I always thought that it would be kind of cool for that person, because they'd forget that they did it.
Right.
Probably.
And then they'd get home, and they'd be all excited that they got a message on their answering machine.
And it would make them think a little bit about time and how time works. And all that. You know, Ben, me, thinking about how time works is always like a deal that I've got. It's a thing that I...
Right, it's your deal. It's what describes you, informs your motivations.
There's something I'm thinking about right now, actually, a concept that I'm rolling around in my head.
Is it dinner?
I have been for
have
a couple...
Have you eaten yet?
I have not eaten yet, but I'm not eating during the podcast. Don't worry. So here's the basic concept is that there are two different things that kind of accomplish the same thing for humans. And it's a way of interacting with a time period that is inaccessible to us. So you have records and plans. Records are our way of accessing the past, which is inaccessible to us. And plans are our way of accessing the future, also not
currently
accessible to us.
Accessible, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So the idea basically is that, and just using a really, really basic one, when you go to turn on a light switch, right? And this is how I'm trying, when I say an easy way, because I mean, obviously a newspaper is a record and I'm going to work on Saturday is a plan,
yeah.
Right? We think of those as two different, I'm not going to work on Saturday, by the way. We think of those as two separate things, but, and this is the thing that's gotten me kind of a little crazy, records and plans actually serve a very similar function when you take the concept of time away from it, which means this. I look at a light switch, right?
Yeah.
Now, my brain uses the record. What is the type of record that we always use and is, you know, not always reliable, but something that you don't have to write down. You don't have to read it. It's the human memory.
Right? Memory.
Memory is a record. Motor planning could be a, you know, it's called motor planning. It's a plan in there. So I look at a light switch. My memory tells me, hey, if I turn that light switch off, the light's going to go out, right? Because it's happened in the past. When I've done that in the past, lights have gone out. I have learned what light switches are. So that's a record, right? I'm going to go and turn out that light is a plan. But the plan is based on the information in the record. We're not turning off the light immediately and going, I'm going to do this some more. We haven't turned off the light. The light is just there. The switch is there. But we know that when we hit the light, light's going to go off. So I make a plan. I'm going to turn the light off. And this is my new concept basically of the present, right? Because people always say, well, we need to be in the now. Well, now has already happened. Now is in the past. Now is constantly in the past. What we really are doing as human beings is leapfrogging a little bit in the future, a little bit into the future. And we're really creating the circumstances of our next now by our plans. And maybe not creating. Sometimes we're just getting ready for it. Sometimes the idea of not planning and letting life happen without any planning whatsoever is antithetical to how we operate as humans, which is why Zen masters and Buddhists and all those folks spend a lot of time. I know that Zen Buddhism is a thing. Oh, man. Jennifer is going to get me. But you know, they spend a lot of time trying to learn to be in the now, as it's difficult. We are always dwelling on the past or thinking about the future. And I posit that this is a survival thing that we do. We have learned to use records of the past to help us plan for the future. But like I said, this is the biggest concept, I guess. The past and the future are both inaccessible to us. The future is accessible if we're patient, right? But the past, we can't change anything. So for human beings, records are really the only way that we interact with the past. And it's always as an observer. We have no write permissions, if you will, for the past. Anyway, that's what I've been thinking about lately.
And what brought this on?
How are you?
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to let you try to finish and see where all that was going.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if one does not study our records, we're doomed to repeat those plans.
That's very well said, Ben. Yes.
Yeah.
But how are oh, wait. Okay. First of all, have you seen the new Star Wars?
I have not.
Okay. Star Wars spoilers.
I may watch it this week. Blair's going to be out of town, so I'm probably going to treat myself to a movie downtown.
Blair is not into seeing movies downtown?
No, it's just that I've promised that I was going to see it with her, but she let me off the hook and I don't have to see it for the first time with her.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And we haven't seen it yet. And yes. I don't want to wait too long. I don't want to wait until next year, so I just wander downtown to one of the downtown movie theaters. And you know, have you seen it? You've probably seen it.
I have.
It. Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't want to go with all the opening weekend crowds, you know?
Yes. Now the great thing is, and this is something that people who are from here in Edwardsville probably don't have to deal with this. But they say the same thing. Oh, man, traffic was horrible. Oh, man, the crowds were...
I had to wait at that stoplight for almost 90 seconds.
Traffic being horrible is this. You can't immediately turn.
Yeah.
Right onto... There's one thing. There's Main Street here. Is actually difficult to get onto. But it's not like, oh, my God, I'm going to die and there are all these people that are going to kill me difficult. It's just... I still can't go. Wow, this is taking a while.
I have a map, a navigation app called Waze.
Yes, I've heard of Waze.
Yeah, and every once in a while, I know my city pretty well, but every once in a while, Waze takes me a way that I have never gone before. And it's interesting.
Yes.
You do learn new things about your city, but there's one thing that it does. And I wish I could, like, contact the programmers or if there was a setting in here. Every once in a while, it thinks giving me a shortcut is making me turn left onto a busy street.
Yes.
And I want to tell it, I would rather wait at a stoplight.
Yes.
and not have to turn left onto a busy street.
Here's something I remember hearing about Waze is that there are some people on some residential streets who are really mad because one of the things it does is funnel people onto their street.
It does, yeah.
And for me, it's, again, I feel as though maybe living here, I've gone back in time for a little bit. Different concept, but basically the idea is that what is a time period, Ben, if not just a manner of dress and the available technology and the public works of that place? That's basically it all. The make of cars.
What is time except the whole of human existence?
I'm sorry. That was more funny to me than I expected it to be. That was good. But no, so we don't have ways doing it. What we have is the city sometimes shuts down Main Street for like parades and stuff.
Right.
And everybody goes down our street instead. And it's kind of amazing. It's like a small parade of angry people going, why do I have to go through here?
Yeah. I did hear.
Oh, hey, did I tell you that they're not dumping concrete next to our house anymore?
No, that's a new development.
Yeah, they stopped. Well, actually,
is that going to be a new development? Is that why they stopped?
It may be a new development. Yeah, I don't know. But they moved all the stuff off of it.
Yeah.
The dead tree is still there. Which, by the way, interestingly enough, the dead tree, the base of it looks like a telephone pole. It's been, like, shaved down. I don't think there are roots. I think it is a thing that's just sitting there, perhaps embedded into it.
It might have,
I'm not saying it's a set piece, but it looks kind of like a set piece.
It might have been a diseased tree that the city went through and just cut off.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, going back to Waze, I did hear a story about about people who live on residential streets and would plant cops on their streets just to get the Wazers to slow down, because you can tell other Wazers where cops are. And so if you're driving along the freeway, you see a cop up ahead, you know to slow down.
Now that's interesting, because around here you used to flash your lights to let people know that there are cops.
Yeah.
And you could actually get pulled over for doing that. Like, it's illegal now to flash your headlights.
Well, is that not connected to the fact that sometimes flashing lights is now considered like a gang thing?
Well, that was the
or are the cops like, you're not allowed to let people know we're here, so we're gonna pull you over?
That's why, basically. well.
Oh, the Midwest law.
The big thing about this is that thing about it being a gang thing.
Yeah,
is also something that I heard like back in the 80s around here. That was a thing.
Yeah.
That, oh, somebody flashes their lights at you, that means that they're... Which, if you think about it, for real, I think that maybe it's like, I'm going to flash my headlights, which lets you know that you can go to the hideout because it's fine, or so.
But it wasn't so much, like, the gangs weren't flashing their lights. They would purposefully drive with their headlights off. And it was some sort of... what I heard is that it was some sort of an initiation ritual where you drive around at night with your headlights off, and if somebody flashed you to let you know that your headlights are off, you turn around and you chase them down and you kill them.
Oh, well, you know, that's... Okay.
I mean, I don't get it, but that's just the story that I heard.
That honestly makes more sense than my thing, which was like, hey, I'm in a gang... Hey, I'm in a gang. Hey, I'm in a gang too. You know, like right. That's what the flashing was.
Yeah, how motorcyclists kind of do the little motorcycle wave to each other when they pass.
Yes, exactly. They're the head nod, the general head nod. Here, and this is true. In
oh,
the Midwest,
please, call me Mr. Head Nod. General Head Nod was my father.
we wave at each other. There's like a hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Thing that you do. But this is the other thing that I think is possible. Back when I was a young thief, I would justify my stealing from a place in many different ways. Like, oh, that person was mean to me. Or, oh, they have a sign on their door that says no shirt, no shoes, no service. They're bad people.
You're talking about
convince yourself.
You're talking about stealing from businesses and not from people?
Well, no, but people too.
Okay.
Oh, that guy is, not that I ever stole from an individual.
Yeah.
But the people working at the businesses.
Right.
For example.
But like pickpocketing or stealing somebody's things while they're at the beach or whatever.
And this was one of the things. Yeah, you didn't want to pickpocket. You didn't want to steal from this was a thing at the time. You don't want to steal from like family owned businesses. You want to steal from like your Walmarts or your, places like that. Not that I ever stole from Walmart. Not that I ever stole from anywhere. Hey, who's talking? So, but here's this is the basic thing, is that you would come up with morals. And that's the other thing. Yeah, I don't steal from small businesses. You know, you want to, it's a morality thing, right?
Right. Is it wrong to steal a loaf of bread to feed your starving family?
Right, exactly. So, in the same way, if you're going to be the guy who goes and kills somebody to get into your gang thing, you might say, well, they shouldn't have flashed their lights at me. Even though even though that's a very weird moral standard, you've given yourself an out
in
that way.
And perhaps bringing this back around, maybe that's why the police would pull you over if you flash your lights. It's not so that they're not saying, look, you can't let other motorists know we're here. They're saying, look, this is a dangerous thing to be doing in this part of town.
Yeah, don't, because it might be misinterpreted. Your signals might
exactly
be. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you a story about when we went to see Star Wars, but I'm not going to tell you about Star Wars.
Okay.
So these are no spoilers.
All right.
Two things happened. The first thing is, you know those.
First, I killed it. No, wait.
No. Hey, this is Marina Morenos or whoever it is with the 20-minute infomercial before your movie starts. You know, where somebody shows you, like, hey, let's look at the set of the new Law and Order SVU
and what we
can expect this year.
It's what they play before the commercials and the trailers.
Right, exactly. So we went to see Star Wars.
Paying $25 for a movie isn't enough. They got to show me ads.
This is the thing that happened. We went. Oh, by the way, Star Wars at 10:15 a.m. in the town where I live.
$5.
$5. Yeah. 75 cents.
75 cents.
So we went to see it.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in the theater, and the lights go down. Movie starts, or you know, the projector starts, and it's that 20-minute thing starts playing.
Yeah,
and we're kind of all right with it at first, and then we're like, wait a second, this is way too much stuff happening. There are all these things, all these like things for colleges, all these things like all the local colleges have their things.
They made a mistake. They didn't turn the right projector on, or they didn't change
the
reels or something.
They forgot that they had to start it, you know, that they should have started this earlier, whatever. And people start shouting, people start booing, people eventually start getting up. And so what happens is they skip through the rest of it, right? And there are these green screens and this flashing stuff. And I, of course, was like, I obey, and people laughed. But the main thing is, when the previews started, they skipped over all the previews. How they got us to our movie on time.
Are they allowed to do on time 25 minutes late?
Right, exactly. So and that was the thing. I thought a couple of things. One, are you allowed to do it? And two, there's got to be at least one person there who was like, oh man, I can't believe the blank trailer, whatever it is going to be for the Star Wars, and then they have to watch this whole thing. Besides that, then they miss the trailer to the movie that they want to see.
I went to go see Blair and I went to go see Thor Ragnarok at the Cinerama.
Heard that was really good.
I really liked it. If you haven't seen it, you should at least make an effort to watch it when it comes on Netflix or Hulu or something.
I definitely am, because the guy who directed that is the guy who
Taika
did
Waititi.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Exactly.
Which is really good.
Yeah. And the scheduled start time for the movie was, let's say it was 8 o'clock. I don't remember exactly what time the movie started, but I do remember noting that the time when the scheduled screen time started and when the movie actually started was 27 minutes.
Wow.
And it wasn't a mistake. It was just all the commercials and trailers.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that when I was in France, there was a law that the movie had to start at you got all the commercials out of the way and stuff like that ahead of time because
I hear that
the movie had to start at the time.
The Pixar movie Coco is really good, but it used to have this Frozen quote short in front of it, which was like 20 minutes long, and apparently it was really bad. I haven't seen it. I haven't actually seen Frozen, but
Frozen was all right.
People,
I liked it.
People were complaining that this short before the movie was A, bad, and B, too gosh darn long.
Yeah.
And they were saying, look, the movie's scheduled to start at 8. You got trailers and stuff, so the program isn't going to start until like 8:20, 8:15, let's say 8:15. And there's this 20-minute short. So now, just for this 8 o'clock movie, show up at 8:30 and you'll still be able to see the entire thing.
Wow.
Apparently, Pixar has heard the complaints and have removed the short from the movie in certain theaters.
Sorry, Frozen. So then the other thing is, after the movie, we go to this Korean place. There is a Korean place in Edwardsville, Illinois, which is
I don't
crazy.
Know why that's surprising, but it is.
Well, no. For me, growing up here, that is crazy. But it's great. It's really, really good. And this is me, you know, coming from Seattle. There's tons of different foods and things like that. It's a really good place. But I decided that I'm gonna buy the desserts. So I buy the desserts and I eat the desserts. And my daughter and her friend both order tea. I went with my daughter, her friend, and then my friend, Andy, who's been on this podcast before.
Right.
You may remember. Oh, by the way, Jeff Soule is in town.
I don't know who that is.
If you remember. Yes, you do. He was our first guest.
Oh, that guy.
Our first.
Okay.
Yeah, that guy. He's in town. I should have asked him if he wanted to do this, but I didn't. And you'll find why in just a second. So, so we're eating. Betty doesn't finish her tea that she ordered, so I drink it.
Yeah.
Right? And then Betty's friend, who's my friend's daughter, hasn't eaten all of her food, and I'm kind of hungry. And I'm like, well, hey, can I have some of that? And she's like, yeah, of course. And so I finish her food, which is a plate of noodles. And then I'm driving into work on Tuesday, and I get a text from Andy, and he says, hey, just so you know, my daughter has been diagnosed with influenza A, and I remember you shared her noodles. Just wanted to let you know, you know, you should be careful.
What was
and
was she? Did he know of her diagnosis before he saw you eating?
No,
her
no,
food?
No, 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 okay. No. She got sick. We went to the movies on Saturday. She was sick on Sunday.
Okay,
and she was sick, you know, that Monday.
Gotcha.
And this is the thing. Betty also was sick on... Oh, no. No, I guess he told me on... Oh, this is confusing. I guess he told me on Wednesday.
Telling me.
What is today? Today's Thursday,
Today's
right?
Thursday.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. So he told me on Wednesday.
So yesterday.
Yesterday. As I was going to work, I picked up my computer. I came home because she, Betty, had a fever of 101 that morning. And that's the other thing, is that Betty went to a psychiatrist department appointment on Tuesday.
Okay.
Complaining of chills and feeling kind of achy. You know, they're like, oh, how are you feeling? She's like, oh, I've been kind of feeling chilly, sort of achy. It's me, Jennifer, and three doctors. None of us thought to take our temperature. to see if maybe the reason she was feeling chilly and achy is because she was actually sick,
right?
Which she was. So I got my stuff and I came home.
And forgive me for skipping to the end of this story, but you don't sound like you have the flu.
Well, this is the thing, is that I was feeling really bad on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And today I feel fine. I'm going to work tomorrow because I'm past the incubation period and I'm not. And that's the thing, is I never got a fever. I was feeling crummy on Wednesday, but I never had a fever, don't have a fever today, and feel a lot better. So I think we're going to be fine. And that's the story of
the story
Star Wars,
of Star
Ben.
Wars.
Other than, I will say this, I saw it with a crowd of people.
Yeah.
And it's still one of the best ways to see it because everybody was cheering and having a good time.
No, I'm fine watching movies with people. In fact, I remember, and I think you and I went to this, it was a midnight showing of Pee-wee's Big Adventure at the Egyptian. And
oh, yeah.
I've never seen more people so happy to see that movie.
Yes.
And it was, I mean, being there with all those happy people was, you know, it made the experience. It's just that I don't
There's
mind.
There's a difference
I don't mind crowds, you know, I just don't, I would prefer to avoid them.
Here's the thing, and I think you'll agree with me on this. Midnight showings at the Egyptian, right?
Yeah.
Are a time when, like, every person there, pretty much, is on sort of the same wavelength with you.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, I'm going to have to deal with this dad yelling at his kids or these people. You know what I mean? Like when people are there for the same thing. And I would suggest that people who go to regular Showtime big movies aren't always there for the same reason. Sometimes they're there because they're on a date. Sometimes they're there because someone dragged them there. If you're up at midnight going to see this movie, chances are you're interested and invested in
this movie
way.
That is 20 years old.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Because we went, I don't remember all the things we saw, but we went to see several movies there. And
yeah,
all of them.
The only ones I remember you and I seeing are Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and we went and saw Moulin Rouge. Was that a midnight show?
I don't know if it was a midnight show or not, but yeah, I think when I saw Moulin Rouge, it was during the kind of disappointing. I made a bad choice. It was when I wasn't wearing my glasses.
Oh,
to see if I could fix my eyes better.
Yeah.
What movie other than Moulin Rouge would be a bad movie not to be able to see the visuals on?
I don't remember that particular bad choice of yours, but I do remember that when we went to go see Moulin Rouge at the Egyptian, we basically had nothing else to do. So we went to the theater and we just stood there for probably like 45 minutes until they opened the doors.
I think, we do that. We did that some other times as well.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, Ben, you and I talking, we could do that and it's fine.
Right.
It's like how Betty and I take her to the grocery store with me sometimes. And that's what we do for fun.
Because
hanging out with her is pretty great.
Yeah.
And you know, I roll my eyes sometimes and like, oh, Betty, no, what, you know, in like a comedic effect, but I really do like hanging out with her.
Right.
A lot. And she does the same thing to me. We have this little adversarial thing that we do, but it's...
I don't think... When I was a kid, I don't think my parents took me to the grocery store for fun.
Yeah.
More
probably
of a,
not.
I will get in trouble with the law if I leave this kid home alone.
Oh, yeah. And we've been... It's funny. We've been alive for as long as the whole latchkey kid concept was around, I think.
Yeah.
Like, but it's weird, you know, oh, well, he's a latchkey kid, as opposed to what, in the 1950s, everybody's running around with sticks.
Well, in the 1950s, nobody locked their doors.
Right, exactly. So, and, you know, I blame the Satanists, really. That's where it all...
No, but... I my first the first time that my parents gave me a key to the house. I don't remember how old I was or like what grade I was in, but I do remember that my dad had safety pinned the key inside my jacket pocket.
Oh, yeah.
So I couldn't lose it.
There is a small feeling of power to the idea that you have this key now. Did I tell you, I'm gonna quiz you, Ben. Do you remember, have I ever told you what my dad would do with our house key?
I do not remember if you have told me.
He would put it on the dog's collar. Which I thought was a brilliant idea. Because, yeah, if you don't know the dog, you're not getting close enough to get the key off.
Yeah, and I mean, unless you live in the neighborhood, you probably didn't know where the dog lived.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Actually, that would have been a really good strategy when I was growing up, because we had, at one point, we had a dog that hated and barked at everybody except us. We would be the only ones she would allow close to her to pet her. So if anybody, even if they knew that the house key was on her collar, they probably wouldn't be able to get close to it.
I think you and I have talked about this. I got a lot of flack from a lot of people when I was living in Seattle. When I would freak out about their dogs being off leash. And I think we've had this conversation, but I'm not sure. Growing up where I did, there were two types of dogs. One was a farm dog that people specifically made mean so that it would get people who tried to get onto the farm property.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And the other was a wild dog that was basically, you know, just from around. People didn't have dogs as pets.
Those are, that really? Concept,
yeah, that concept.
I find that hard to believe.
Now, when I say that, I'm talking about
dogs have been domesticated
area,
for thousands of years.
No. I'm talking not in the area where we lived. Because there was the church and there were all these different farms.
Yeah.
Now they had like, you know, collars and people would like pet their dogs and stuff like that. But they were working dogs. They didn't stay inside. They were always outside.
They were dogs with jobs.
We wanted our dog to live inside with us. It was an Old English Sheepdog. He was Old English Sheepdog. But my dad said no.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was, you know, peer pressure of the surrounding community. I don't think it is. I think he just doesn't like animals being in the house. I don't know if that's a German thing.
So you got a lot of flack from people in Seattle who didn't like the way that you took a front.
They didn't like the way I would say...
taking the dogs off leash.
I would say, hey, that dog should be on a leash.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Which I get. There is a very, you know, kind of, I don't want to say hippie-ish thing, but there's a very, like, you know, because it crosses all, you know, demographics. This sort of conspiratorial, hey, dog, you and me, I know you're a good boy. I'm just going to carry the leash, and if somebody comes by, and makes a big deal. I'll clip the leash on. It'll be like you were wearing the leash the entire
time.
It's
not the fact that the dog is going to snap and start attacking people. I have seen two times, and I wouldn't be surprised if it were the same dog, while walking around
dogs
Capitol Hill.
Dogs attack other dogs?
No. That runs right out into the street and almost gets hit by a car.
Oh, no. That's not good. Yeah, the difference, I guess the thing that I was, and it took me a long time. I lived in Seattle for almost 15 years. And towards the tail end, I finally was coming around to the thing. You know, I get it. Maybe there are good dogs that don't. But just in my formative years, if you saw a dog and you didn't know it, it was probably going to attack and bite you. Yeah. And I know that sounds, and probably I'm going to guess that people from my hometown would say, Paul, what are you talking about to me?
But
that was what I was told.
That's a good, like, first impression of any dog, regardless of what it is. You should always, even the cutest dog that I think is super cute, I will approach it like it is about to attack, you know? just because never know.
Yeah, and we're not saying, ladies and gentlemen, we are not saying, so drop kick the dog, as none of that. We're saying be respectful.
Be respectful and don't surprise the dog.
Don't surprise the dog. Don't reach out and just start petting the dog.
Yeah.
My goodness.
You don't know
how the dog's feeling.
Exactly.
And all that. So yeah, I feel, but
oh,
but
he's all right.
Oh yeah. Paul F. Tompkins has a great bit about dogs in general. Yeah. Please. So, but the, yeah, I just remember this, this video YouTube thread where, this deer just kicks the hell out of this dog.
Oof.
And so many people were like, all that dog should have been on a leash and then that wouldn't have happened. Which is, I suppose, and this is the thing, this is kind of what got me on the debate. I was like, yeah, I suppose that's true. But also, if I'm a dog owner, I'm not going to go, hey, I wonder if there's going to be a deer in my residential street. Now, here's the thing. Nowadays, a deer is on my residential street, like, probably at least 3 times a week. I mean, I see deer all the time.
Are there wild, are there wild dogs running around your residential street?
No wild dogs, but there are coyotes. And I don't know how they and the deer are getting along. But,
oh, they've been coexisting in the forest for ages. I'm sure they get along fine in the streets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Probably. But these streets, Ben, you don't know. You don't know what the deer are up to. So, hey, speaking about being wrong about things.
Yeah.
Corrections. Corrections. Jennifer told me that she got corrections in. And for the listener, while Ben pulls up corrections, I will tell you what I mean by the phrase, Jennifer said she got the corrections in. So, Ben and I have been doing this podcast for a while, and we started out as performance artists in Seattle, and then I moved to Illinois. Ben still lives in Seattle, and we figured that in order to make sure we don't lose touch, and that's not the only reason, but, you know, it's good for this, we have this podcast where we talk for an hour once a week. And one of the things that we mentioned a little bit early on is that people think they know more than they do because they can look stuff up using Google. And if the people knew how dumb they really were, they would be surprised. And so we started trying to answer questions without looking things up on Google. And we learned pretty quickly that we didn't even have to seek out questions to answer. We could just be wrong simply by talking. And we started asking people to send in corrections. We have had, I would say, a sprinkling of people doing so. In order to send in corrections, and if you would like to do this, you write to Ben's email at yahoo.com@gmail.com.
Hey, you got it.
Hey, all right. We'll see if I can do it again next time. And we've had, again, like I said, we've had Jose Amador write in. We've had Stephen McCandless write in. And the number one all-time correction writer is my wife, Jennifer Pratt, who writes in pretty much every week with corrections for us.
She's made it her duty.
And I always appreciate it. I will never take this for granted. And it is the most reoccurring thing on the show. I think the only reoccurring thing, except for Paul's going to be a jerk to Ben. and how dare you, which show up every once in a while.
Yeah. All right. So shall we?
Yes, Ben.
All right.
Yes, we shall.
Number one, Paul says his relatives suggested he get scoped to do swallowing, to figure out the swallowing issues. It's an endoscopy, not a colonoscopy. The issue is called esophageal dysmotility.
Okay.
So yeah, we were talking about when you met your family and you're like, hey, did you get scoped yet? And you're like, what?
Yeah, and I wasn't sure which end they were talking about. apparently it's the front. Or not the top front, the down the throat is what we're talking about, yeah. Ben. I think. Yeah. So no, I haven't done that
yet. All right, good. We were also talking about how everybody notices the pencil that has fallen on the floor during a play.
Yes.
And I wondered if people who don't do theater notice that kind of thing. And she says, Ben, everyone notices the pencil on the floor. Everyone. Even unsophisticated audience members. Everyone. Well, except for the people who have fallen asleep or are mostly looking at the pretty lights and wondering how people can remember all of those words. Yeah. We were also talking about, I asked if they still taught cursive in school.
Yes.
And she says, this is editorial. I personally think it's important for kids to learn cursive. I'm sure you and Paul write out everything in block letters, but so many historic documents are in cursive. Who cares? Well, I do. I know this could turn into a debate about digitized documents and scholarship and all that, but at least having some idea of how that type of writing works is invaluable to me. Okay, thanks, bye. I can't remember the last time I wrote cursive. My normal handwriting is sort of a mix between block letters and cursive, but that's just because I write too fast. I don't often have time to pick the pencil up off the paper.
For me, I actually have retaught myself how to letter using lettering. Yes. 1 second. Yeah, Betty, they're yours. Go ahead and toss them, Betty. Betty.
What?
Go toss them out by the dead tree.
Why can't they just toss them in the garbage?
I want you to toss them by the dead tree.
What is she throwing away?
I don't have the energy to put on my shoes.
Oh, well, all right. We got these huge silicone balls and she's tossing them. Shut the door, please.
Oh.
Shut the door,
Betty.
Are
they splat balls?
No. Betty! Betty!
What?
Shut the door! I held the microphone away from my mouth while I was yelling.
Good.
Just so you know. Okay, so, I retaught myself how to write just recently.
Write cursive.
No. Write just letter, hand letter. There are some rules for hand lettering that they do for comics.
Yeah.
And I decided that I was going to start writing that way because that way, you know, I can write
legibly. So it's basically
legibly,
all capital letters.
All capital letters. You don't dot the I's. You don't put the bars on the I's unless you're actually saying I went to the store.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a single line. Stuff like that. But no, I agree that cursive is important. And I agree that it is useful for scholarship. How better to learn to read cursive than to learn how to write it? and something interesting that I just heard recently. People who were laminating documents to preserve them.
Yeah.
It turns out that it actually is dangerous for the documentation. So there's a new skill set, I guess, of taking laminate off of documents.
I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah, apparently.
Because
so.
you are destroying it to preserve it.
By taking the laminate off or by putting the laminate
on?
No,
by putting the laminate on. You're
basically changing. Yeah, but they didn't know that. They didn't know that at the time, apparently.
All right.
I guess the technology hadn't been fully vetted.
We were talking about Sergeant Frog, and she says, Ben, you must ask Laurie Utterback about Sergeant Frog. It is really, really, really good. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Number five, we were talking about this performance artist who won a slot at Spin the Bottle called Inkblot.
Oh, yes.
And she says, oh, dear. He won a spot at Spin in an auction. He did, quote, stand-up. and every once in a while would throw himself on the ground talking about his butt and diarrhea and how Evan Mosier had given him Rolaids. I don't remember that part. And it went on and on and on and on.
Wow. How Evan Mosier had given him Rolaids.
I don't know.
Was he? I'm unsure if that was supposed to be a weird pun.
Yeah, is he?
Or if he had gotten them from him at this? How does he know Evan?
And, you're right. Yeah. What's the connection there between
that
ink
guy?
It might have been like some guy who went to school, like went to college with Evan.
Oh, okay.
Showed up in Seattle one day. Number six.
Yes.
Jacques Chirac was president of France from 1995 to 2007. We were talking about when you were in Paris, or not Paris, Nice, and they told you not to go to Italy.
But not when was he president? When was the...
There was an election.
When was the election?
There was an election in 2002, which he won. On July 14th, 2002, there was an assassination attempt. I still can't link this to Paul being told not to go to Italy. The only other major event besides the heat wave and resultant state of emergency around that time was Italy adopting the euro and getting rid of lira. And, of course, general antipathy for Americans due to that whole Iraq war thing that was happening.
And that was the big thing that I remember at the time was that, and so it was around 2002, I remember them saying that people were mad about the Iraq war. That was part of it.
Right.
Because, and I think if we go back, you don't have to go back and listen to it, anyone. But the thing was that when we first got there, there was a lot of people who were really happy about... or not really happy, but really sympathetic about the 9/11 attacks and everything.
Right.
And I was there for 5 weeks, and at the end of the 5 weeks, they were done being sympathetic.
Yeah.
Because of the Iraq War thing. And you know, it was a very, you know, similar thing to a lot of times. What the U.S. does is that we get goodwill and then we burn it off by going,
yep,
we don't care about you guys.
We use goodwill like kindling.
Yeah.
We just use it to ignite larger fires.
But again, I do like the fact that our stores are open later than most other countries. So...
so
is that it?
Yeah, that is it. She says, keep it wrong.
Hey, look at that. Yeah, well, so, we'll strive to keep it wrong as always. I was thinking about this the other day, and I know this sounds weird. I know this is gonna sound weird. Do we teach children how to buy things, right? Like that's something that's a learned skill. Like Americans, in general, are really good at going somewhere and giving people money and then taking the thing that they have.
Yes, especially this time of year when everybody's Christmas shopping.
I was thinking about this. You know what you don't get? And this is an efficiency that I think that people appreciate.
Instructions on how to file your taxes?
No. Something I think people don't appreciate, and I know this may sound dumb, but we as consumers in the United States have learned that's the price, that's what I'm going to pay, I'm just going to go in, they're going to tell me how much it is, I'm going to hand them the money, and then we're done.
And if
you imagine?
And if you live in a state like mine that has a regressive sales tax, you know that you're going to pay just slightly more than what is listed on the thing.
And you don't argue about that either.
Yeah.
You just go and you pay it. Whereas if you can think about when people are being haggling with other people.
Right.
And stuff like that. Can you imagine, okay, you're in line, and then there's the thing about, oh, this lady has coupons. But even coupons are pretty much okay. You know, it's yeah. when you get to the idea that the person says this is $3 and they're like, well, I'm not going to pay $3 for it. We yeah. don't really think about it at the time, but
we're a society that if for most people, if you don't want to pay $3 for thing, you basically just don't buy thing.
Right, exactly. We look at it, we're like $3, I'm not paying that, and then you don't buy it.
Yeah.
It's very it's an alien concept, I think. But and the reason I bring it up
would make checking out at the store so much much more of a lengthy process if people just argued about every price.
Yeah. The reason I bring it up is that my I remember I was out with a friend of mine from this is in grade school, I guess. Grade school or middle school. It's hard to describe because during those times, I was at one school for my entire grade school to middle school thing. I went directly from Trinity Lutheran School into high school. So I was with a friend of mine during some time within that period. And we were on a ship. Like, one of the things in St. Louis was that you could go on boats and buy food.
Okay.
Like, they had, like, there was a McDonald's boat. But then you had other boats, too, where people would be selling food. Like a cafeteria style or, you know, those hamburger places that aren't McDonald's are just owned by some guy and they make food on them.
Okay, so there's food on these restaurant. Boats.
Yeah, yeah. So we went there and we're buying the thing and they're like, he said, you know, fish is $1.35. And he said, I only have $1.25. I'll give you $1.25 for it. And they went back and forth for a little bit, but then I think he got it for $1.25. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that was lucky. And he's like, oh no, I if he had said $1.35, I would have given it to him. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I had $1.35, but I said $1.25 because usually people will, you know, like 10 cents isn't a big deal. People will kind of wave on it. That's what my dad told me. And I realized that this guy existed in a completely different world than I did, where he's saving like dimes.
I'm too much of a conformist, and I just think that behavior is annoying and cheap.
Right, right, right. And well, and this is the thing is that he also talked he talked to me about how you can do it at pawn shops. That's one of the biggest things his dad would do is he would go to pawn shops and do stuff. Somebody else mentioned it to me too, and I think I might have mentioned this on this podcast before. But I, in high school, walked into a pawn shop. There was a bass guitar that was for $125. I said, I'll give you $100 for it. He said, no. And I said, oh, all right. And I walked out. And that was the end of my haggling career.
Cars are another thing that you're almost expected to haggle over the price.
Yeah.
But I've never I did that once. I bought a used car off of somebody. And I think it was he was asking $700, and I said I'll give you $5. And he thought about it. He goes, oh, okay.
Wow.
So I know. And then
was it five?
And then I turned around and sold it to $500. And then I turned around and sold it to Rick Miller for $100.
For $100, so you lost $400 on the deal.
You remember this car? This is the car that couldn't make it up that hill to get to your house.
Oh, wait. So you didn't sell it to him for $100 right away, did you?
No, I had the car for a number of months and basically was
tired. That's right, yes. Okay. I just want to make sure, because when you said you turned around and I was expecting...
The next day, I'm going to take a $400 bath on this. You want it? No,
$400 bath, that's...
I had it for a while, and I told him, I was up front with him. I said, I'll give you this car for $100, but the first place you need to drive it to is a mechanic.
Yeah. I think you and I have talked about this. I didn't use Rick's name at the time, but I wanted to point this out. Rick is the guy who when I sold him the television... Not sold him, I'm sorry, gave him the television... He was like, don't ask me for this back in 2 weeks or whatever. I was like, oh, no problem. So Rick Miller is the nexus, right, between both you and me and him, like in this
hey, there's a good way to do business and a bad way to do business. Let's get the ground rules straight right now. I'm selling you this car for $100. It's not good.
Yeah.
Get it fixed.
Get it fixed.
In the same way, hey, you're giving this to me. The right thing to do is not to ask for it back later.
Right.
So you're teaching him something. He's teaching me something. It's all good. But yeah, I wonder if that guy is still doing that stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it's just, it's very... Now, here's the thing. I have done that in the past, but I always haven't had the money. I've always,
right.
You know... I remember specifically Gremlins, the novelization of Gremlins.
Okay.
When it came out, I really wanted it, and I saved all my money, and I went up to the store... To the guy, I had the money, and then there was tax on it.
Yeah.
And I hadn't thought about it, and I started crying, and he's like, no, you can have it.
I had the...
You can have it, here it is.
I had the almost exact same experience when I was a kid. I saved up a bunch of money to buy a Star Wars toy. I wanted to buy the Y-Wing fighter. And I don't remember how much it was, but when we got to the... I was so proud I had the money, right?
Yes.
And we got to the counter, and the guy's like, it's this much, and I didn't have enough. I ultimately didn't have enough.
Oh, and no. Yeah. It feels
bummed me out, man. And, like, we went back to the car, and I was probably crying, and I don't remember who it was. I think it was my aunt or somebody came back, walked back to the car a couple minutes later and had the toy and like, oh, they made a mistake. Obviously lying. It actually is that much. So here you go. And I got that toy.
You know, it's funny too, because I'm thinking about this now and I remember like being like, oh man, I was such a crybaby. I shouldn't have, you know, been like that and all that. And I realize now that the age I was is the age my daughter is right now.
Ah.
And the idea of being upset and crying over not being able to purchase something that you want isn't out of the ordinary for a kid that age, I wouldn't think. But I guess it's, you know, from the time, at the time, you know, 80s, whatever, boys weren't supposed to... Well, as you know, as Robert Smith said, boys don't cry. and that Keep was one of the things that I liked about the Smiths was how much they freaked me out when I saw them at first, because it was so alien to...
The Cure. Okay.
The Smiths 2, don't get me wrong. Oh boy, this is a bad... Maybe I am getting sick, Ben. Smiths and The Cure, that's the two. You know what, good guitar work by both bands. That's And Modest Mouse.
I want you to...
Johnny Marr, who knew?
I want you to do a parody of The Cure's Love Cats, but sing it to the two, or rewrite the word so it's Lovecraft.
Oh, yeah. As opposed to Lovecraft, H.P. Lovecraft, which is another...
Yeah, that's a good one.
I believe, in fact, one of the times when we were coming up with the name for Glitcher...
Yeah.
One of the things that we floated that I think we didn't do it because there was already a band named that or something similar was Lovercraft, which was like hovercraft,
right.
But Lovecraft,
right.
And I think it also was like it sounded like some weird sex retreat.
I wonder if anybody.
And then I think we also suggested sex retreat as an example.
If I ever buy a hovercraft, I am going to name it HP Hovercraft.
Oh, yeah. That's a definite.
Yeah.
But I still remember my favorite name for a band. And, Ben, you could bleep this if you wanted to. I'm just forewarning you so that you can mark the time down.
All right. Near the end.
The name of the band was going to be The F*** Police. And the reason is because... There is a great picture of Andy's dad in his police outfit. I believe it's his dad in a police outfit, or else it's a picture his dad took of two other guys in police outfits. Okay. Standing next to graffiti that says F*** police on it.
Yeah.
And but I was afraid that if you called the band police, people would be concerned that it was an anti-police band.
But if you called them the police.
The police, then it's fine. Then there's no problem. And also, I'd like, you know, who are you guys supposed to be? The police? Which is, you know, a great term for cock blocking. So, right. All right. Now that we've gotten that out of the way.
Yeah.
Hey, Betty!
Oh, God.
Okay. So, it's the holiday season, as you know. And don't who try. Loves the holidays more?
Children.
Than Betty. Hey, Betty. How's it going? Okay. Here's... I'm going to ask you a very open-ended question, Betty.
What?
You are 11 years old. Come closer to the microphone. Come over here. Over here where the microphone is. Okay, Betty. What are your thoughts on Santa Claus?
He isn't real.
Oh, no. What?
Is this...
That isn't real, so grow up!
Is this...
Oh, my gosh.
Is this a new development?
Well, there was a time... when Betty used to make fun of Mom by telling people, get this, my mom doesn't believe there's a Santa Claus. So no Santa for you then. Betty, can you explain to Ben the tiny house by the library?
There was a house by the library where people could go and meet Santa, but it was probably just some weird dude pretending to be Santa, which is actually kind of creepy if you think about it, because he's letting little children sit on his lap and talk about toys. He should be going to prison!
Okay,
then. Betty's editorializing about the legality of it aside. There is a tiny, tiny house that they set up by the library.
Yeah.
And it says, come and visit Santa
like
here.
Santa's workshop kind
and
of thing.
And also Santa lives in the North Pole.
Yeah. And it's Wednesday and Saturday that you can meet Santa. And the thing that's interesting is when Santa isn't available, the windows are covered with red curtains.
Mm-hmm.
Or red construction paper, depending on what is actually happening.
Hey, dude, they could just have red curtains. It doesn't really have to be any symbolism. It just can be red curtains. People have red curtains. I look at this!
Betty is showing me the curtain in this
that
room.
This is any symbolism?
That is maroon.
These are still red.
She is now putting the curtain in my face. And giggling.
Is this symbolism?
Is this symbolism, she asks? To no one?
Why? I'm asking
yeah,
this
she's,
to
she's,
you.
She's Dad. Pulling oh, the me. Shades over your eyes.
Is
oh,
this
no.
Symbolism?
She's throwing shade is what she's doing. Oh, God, my face.
And
is
with that.
Symbolism?
And she's saying, is this symbolism over and over again?
Hey, why are you repeating everything I'm saying?
Because the listeners can't see what you're doing.
Well, I mean, why are you repeating everything that I'm saying? Because they can
why
still
am I repeating
it?
Everything that she's saying if they can still hear it?
I'll be
oh,
the judge of
mad.
Whether or not we can hear it.
I'm not mad.
I'm not mad, she says.
All right, all right, all right, all right. I think it's,
okay,
I think
right,
it's time
right,
to leave
right.
today, Paul.
Yes.
I want you to have a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday.
Ben,
and
a Merry Christmas and a happy holidays to you as well.
Ho, ho, ho.
Merry
ho,
Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho. And Ben, do me a favor.
Yeah, what's that?
Keep it wrong.
Oh, I will. And you do the same. Keep it wrong, Paul.
Thanks. Oh, gosh. Betty is... okay, I'll see you guys.
All right. Take care.
Right.
I'll talk
Bye.
To you later.